independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Look, I think he is going off of information that he's seen that has led him to believe that this is a very real potential. And if it is, this is the greatest overreach and the greatest abuse of power that I think we've ever seen, in a huge attack on democracy itself. And the American people have a right to know if this took place.
Yes, they do. We do have a right to know. Did something take place? Was Trump's phone wiretapped before the election? Were they looking for something? I'd like to know about it myself, but I'd also like to know why Americans can't afford a $500 unexpected situation. You need four new tires, $560. Maybe your engine gets busted up and you need $700-$800 worth of work. Your kid gets sick. There's $200-$400 worth of stuff that you can't afford right now. Oh, you can afford it, but that means something else and has to go without. Why can't we? All of this stuff is great to talk about. All of it's great to debate. All of it is something that we should care about. But what do you care about the most? That is my question. Right? What do you care about the most? What do you care about the most? All of us participate in the economy. Shouldn't that be the thing that we're probably caring about the most right now? Last couple hours, people mad at me because I'm not standing right behind Trump 110% saying, absolutely, I know they wiretapped you. They had me set it up inside of there for you. I'm sorry, President Trump. No. I just like to see proof. But in the end, my gibbadam is busted because I care about what's going on inside of our country at this moment in time. For those of you who think it's a distraction, a lot of this distraction is being done by himself. Hyper-focus on your job. That's what I want you to do. The left media is going to take care of themselves. The lies that are out there will take care of themselves. They'll eventually be exposed. Work hard to expose them. Put them out there. Not saying it can't happen. Not saying it didn't happen. Everybody else will read into it what they want. But what is it out there that the average American who pays very little attention to politics care about? Which is 90% of us. 99% of us, actually. Honest. People have no idea who Jeff Sessions is. Most people have no idea who James Comey is. Most people have no idea who Sean Spicer is. Truth. And they only know partly what's going on with Trump because he's Trump and he was on The Apprentice. Not because they're stupid. People call him low information voter. First of all, let's separate what a low information voter is and somebody who's stupid. We all know what stupid is. Stupid is as stupid does. Doesn't matter what you show them, doesn't matter what you tell them, they're morons. Low information is, I'm busy, I don't pay attention, I can't be bothered with this crap, and it's just that I just don't pay any attention to it. So what do I care? I'm moving on with my life. There's a difference. You and I, we care. We pay attention. We listen. We read. Where do we read is very important. How do we gather our information is very important. I read everything. I want to know these things. I contact the people I know that are in the know. I want to know these things. This stuff's important to a certain extent, but what's more important is the fact that half of America cannot afford a $500 unexpected situation. That right there is important. Think about that for a second. Half of the United States of America is having issues. Making rent. Robbing Peter to pay Paul, and all of this other stuff, what does it really mean? That's a good question. Too often than not, I don't know what it means anymore. I get frustrated. I really do. I get frustrated because as a person who is a father, who owns a small business, who busts his butt, just like you do out there, I want our country on a path of economic success. Let's get it did. How about that? Let's get her did. That to me is important. Obamacare, they're unveiling it. What do we got? That's just it. They're unveiling what's out there. They've unveiled this bill. What's this bill about? What's in there? They introduced a bill to repeal Obamacare a little while ago. Obamacare's individual mandate that also claims that aims to maintain coverage with people with pre-existing conditions and allow children to stay on their parents' plan until age 26. The measure would offer individuals refundable tax credits to purchase health insurance and restructure the country's Medicaid program so that each state gets a set amount of dollars. That's what they use for it. All right? So the federal government gives each state X, Y, and Z. You're California, you get a ton over here. You're Wyoming, you may not obviously get as much. Why is that? They got 35 million. You got what? A couple million? Million? I don't know. Not a ton. Not getting the same amount. But Republicans are worried because under the Affordable Care Act, people have gained access to health care. And in doing so, they could lose it. Largely, the protections that were kept there for pre-existing condition are going to be kept there. But they will allow insurers to charge higher premiums to those who let their coverage lapse. It's falling apart. We know that. But in the end, like everything else, the question that most people are going to ask is, what is this going to cost me? How are you bringing the prices down? What is this going to cost me? How are you bringing the prices to a manageable level so I can make sure that my family and myself are insured? Those are the things out there, each and every day. When I talk to people every day, those are the things that keep people awake at night. How's my job going? Am I going to get a raise this year? How's this going? How's that going with the economy? Are we going to start to see taxes come down? Are we going to start to see... Those things matter. This wiretap stuff, I get it. It's important. It is. But I want to see proof. If you're not asking for proof, you're fooling yourself. You should absolutely ask for proof in a situation like this. Maybe there is proof. Maybe he's holding back. I don't know. He changed the narrative. He was upset last week. There's all kinds of stuff. Comey was his good friend before the election. Now Sean Spicer just came out. He won't give a vote of confidence to James Comey, the FBI director. Why is that? Because Comey came out and said, look, I want the DOJ to tell him that this is absurd, this wiretapping thing. All the stuff about Jeff Sessions last week, all of it takes the eyes off the prize to the American people, which is putting us on the right track to fix immigration, to fix Obamacare and health care, to get it manageable for all of us, to start to move forward in the economy, reducing regulations, fixing the tax system and the tax code. 30 plus years, there haven't been a big overhaul in the tax code. About time. All of these things. The wiretapping is sensationalism, and if something's there, absolutely we talk about it. People keep asking me, what about the left? What about the media? Where is their proof when they don't really prove things? Absolutely, we should hold them accountable. Don't read what they write, which you don't read anyways. Should call them out for their stuff. 110% we should. But what if this goes by the wayside and there's nothing there? I'm curious about that. We hold this president accountable? Will we ever find out the truth? And by the way, if there is something that's in this, if there is something to this, if he was wiretapped, this would be crazy. And anybody else who had done it from the last administration, they need to be held accountable. If they didn't do it correctly. But if the information was used or leaked to the Clinton campaign, even if they did it correctly, that isn't good. You got the rest of the world staring at us and going, what the hell's wrong with these people? And then today, getting very little press, getting very few people talking about the fact that there are half of Americans who are living paycheck to paycheck who are one situation away from being in real trouble. But we're talking about stuff that I sit here and shake my head about. We all do. To me, I know what matters. I spend my weekend with my son. I love him to death. Most important thing in my life, that little guy. I want to make sure his life is better than my life was. That he's got opportunities that I didn't have. That I'm able to give him all of the things that he needs in life. And then first and foremost, he knows he's loved and daddy works hard for. That's what I want him to know. He didn't ask me about wiretapping. He asked me about basketball. because he's so excited about basketball. He asked me about his Boy Scouts because he's got his he just finished second place in his big derby, right? The Pinewood Derby. He asked me about his new football gloves. Do I think they're cool? Do you think he can catch a ball better with them? He asked me about those things. What 6.5-year-olds ask comes back to what matters to you in your life. What's the important thing in your life? Not that we shouldn't pay attention. Not that we shouldn't question. Not that we shouldn't ask for answers. Not that we shouldn't hold people accountable. But in the overall scheme of things, do tweets like this help us? Do they change a narrative of what's going on? Do you get some sort of special check if it's found out to be true or if it's found out not to be true? No. President Trump, I want to believe, is going to be, I want to believe all of the things he's saying is true. But there's a portion of me that doesn't want to believe that there is a president that would have done something like this. There's a portion of me that thinks, God, that's horrible to think that one of our presidents would go out of his way to attack a candidate like this. It's the world we live in. I want him to be successful. I want him to be amazing. I want him to shock everybody. And I want him to get the country moving on a fast pace of rebuilding the economy so we all live a little bit better. We all sleep a little bit easier. We all got a little bit more inside of our pocketbook every Friday. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You could text the program, 323-538-2423. You can also call the program, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. What keeps you up at night? Is it the wiretapping? Is it Jeff Sessions? Or is it the fact that, you know what? We're moving into this thing almost 2 months, and we haven't seen the movement that maybe we want. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
If you like talk radio like Chad Benson likes his meals, you've come to the perfect place for takeout.
Whoa! Chad Benson Show. By the way, happy Oreo Cookie Day. Over 500 billion Oreo cookies have been sold in their lifetime. Love me an Oreo cookie. I like chocolate chip Oreo cookies and at Christmas time sugar cookies. If you give me a sugar cookie right now, I will spit it in your face and tell you it's not sugar cookie time. Just letting you guys know that. 500 bucks could break you. Is that scary to think in America? But I know it's true. I know it's true. The reality is half America would struggle to pay something right now if it was a necessity out of nowhere. Unexpected disaster. Anthony in Florida, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, Chad? Great show. Chad, you're absolutely right. I worked for one of the large, actually, I think the largest financial institution in the United States of America. And I was in charge of going into people's accounts every single day, numerous accounts, hundreds of accounts a day, in order to help them with opening accounts or dealing with their account or whatever. And I'll tell you, more than 50% of America has less than $500 in their account in case of an emergency. And you had to dig deep and you had to ask questions and you had to find out where the rest of their money was, of course, as part of being at the financial institution, you know, for business reasons. And you'd be surprised just how horrific it was listening to these people's stories. And this is more than half of America with less than $500. Some of America has less than $25 in an account. And it's just horrific to think what could happen to these people if they did face an emergency.
Absolutely, Anthony. I appreciate your call. And the truth is, man, that to us is the things that should matter. How are we going to get this country back where those people have some, you know, a couple grand in the bank as a just in case, as the backup, as that rainy day kind of fund? Most people don't have that. Jim in Nebraska, what's happening? Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah, I was going to comment on the whole latest attempt from our president to divert people's attention from things going on by another unfounded accusation. And what I would like to point out, in fact, is that before the election, he said that he was not going to be able to divulge his taxes to the American people like every other candidate going back numerous elections have done, regardless of their political affiliation. And then, once he won the election, the story changed to, well, I won the election, so I don't have to show you my taxes now. Meanwhile, he's being pilloried over all this, like, suspicion of connection to the Russians in an undue manner that, you know, it just kind of makes you wonder, what is there in his taxes that he's willing to put up with all the blistering criticism rather than just saying, okay, here you go, take a look, nothing there.
You know what, Jim, I don't know what's in his taxes. We got to jump. I appreciate your call. I will say this. I have never really cared what's in anybody's taxes. I didn't care what's Hillary's. I don't care what's in anybody's taxes. That's their own life. And the fact is, he probably didn't pay a lot of taxes. And we get mad at him for doing that because we wish we could do that. But everybody who goes, whether it's H&R Block or somewhere else, you want to pay the least amount of taxes as possible. The problem is he gets away with it because he's got 50 tax attorneys. James in Vegas, what's happening?
Hey, brother. Thanks for letting me talk to you. You were speaking earlier about everybody's concerned about this Obamacare thing and they're going to lose their new health insurance. I'll tell you right now, most of those folks that are going to lose it didn't have any skin in the game in the first place. They weren't paying. You know, everybody's all, pay your fair share. Well, they were not. I mean, I've seen the subsidies. I've seen all that kind of stuff there. I couldn't get on it. Nobody really cared what they took away from me, the fact that I was paying $10,000 a year plus a $10,500 deductible. They didn't worry about that. They just worried about taking away from somebody that didn't spend the money.
I understand that. And the subsidies really helped a lot of people grab some of that. James, we got to run. We're hitting them into a heartbreak. The subsidies grabbed a lot of people's tensions because I want subsidies. But, you know, if you're going to drop 12,000 people, million people, those people vote as well. And that's the fear factor because these guys don't want to face the music. But you're right. A lot of those people don't have skin in the game. But we'd still like to make sure that people have an opportunity to get health care at an affordable price, whether it's you or everybody else. That's what we're hoping for. So Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Here we are because the President of the United States refuses to abandon his campaign pledge of an unconstitutional Muslim ban. We're here today because the President once again is trying to keep families apart, to keep many of our neighbors abroad, to stop people who want to pursue the American dream and just build for themselves the lives that many of our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents came to this country to build.
That is the New York Immigration Coalition president talking about the fact that the president signed in the new travel restrictions. Again, I'm not saying ban. Restrictions. Restrictions. That's it. 90 days. If you've got a visa, you're going to be restricted. 6 countries. Iraq has been taken out of that mix. So 90 days. And if you're a refugee, it's 120 days. How that's a ban, I do not know. But people will turn it into something far more than it should be. Once again, distraction, distraction, distraction. And of course, we have to talk about how evil and disgraceful it is.
And it is disgraceful. And I want to make it clear that no matter what improvements were made in this bill, a watered-down Muslim ban deserves our undiluted dissent. We cannot be any quieter today because one country was removed from the list.
Well, whatever. Deal with it. Iraq. 6 are still left there. Iraq is off, and the reason, the big reason is because a lot of the intelligence community, a lot of the military leaders have said, look, you can't do this. Iraq has busted their butts in fighting against ISIS, has busted their butts in the fight against Saddam Hussein and his regime, and we already have a restriction of some sort that we've put on there as far as how we vet them even more. So doing this, it's uncalled for, and they deserve the benefit of the doubt for the fact that they work side by side with us. And so there you go. You know, should put subject to change, right? Like the bottom of it, subject to change. Just like when you buy a ticket somewhere, like people bought Coachella tickets, subject to change. And then you find out Beyonce, and you're like, oh, and then you're like Lady Gaga, you're like, oh, okay. So she's taking over for B? She's taking over for B? No way. That's incredible. Man, I tell you what. So we'll see what happens. We'll see. I mean, I myself think this is totally fine. I think it's a moratorium. There's nothing wrong with just looking at our vetting process to see if we can do a better job. When it comes to safety, isn't that what you want? You get on an airplane. Would you like to know they've checked everything twice, three times to make sure, or just kind of gave it a once-over? And if you don't know that they already do that, you have now 90 days to 120 days to look at how they do the process. That's it. Problem solved. We move on. Eventually, these people have an opportunity to come over here, and we can all go, oh, wasn't that big of a deal? But they'll make it a big deal because that's what we do in this country. That's what we do in this country. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Mercedes is making the most expensive SUV ever. It is a G-Class. As we talk about the fact that most Americans cannot afford a $500 miscue in their life, meaning car breaks down, it's going to be $725 to fix. That's going to put a dent on them. They may not be able to do it. They may got to take the bus, save up for a little while, get it fixed, right? Or if they can pay it and they'll borrow some money from some other people, what ends up happening? Other things they can't pay for. Mercedes-Benz is not aiming for those people. I just want to tell you that right now. This new Mercedes is an ultra-luxury all-terrain vehicle with a new Maybach SUV. They say it can ferry passengers over desert dunes with an open top and thermal cup holders. It's a G-Class 650 Mercedes Maybach. Price tag is $500,000. There's only going to make 100 of them, though. It's got a V12 engine. My assumption, and this is my assumption, it's probably not going to get great gas mileage at a V12. You're probably driving from gas station to gas station. And when you're in the dunes, there's probably not a lot of gas stations. I do love seeing these cars. And you think to yourself, the only time you're ever going to go over a dune is going to be a speed bump when you valet park it. Because nobody's taking this thing in the desert. Nobody is. Nobody is. Nobody. Republicans have revealed the bill that will replace Obamacare. It is 66 pages or so. We're going to go through it tonight, Anthony and I. We're going to act it out later on, too. That's the beauty of it. We're going to act it out. So you be the mandate, Anthony. He's going to be like, I am the mandate, and I shall no longer be allowed to be mandatey. And then I will be like, I am the 26-year-old son who wants to stay on my parents' insurance because I don't want to get a real job. So what's in it? What's not in it? How is it going to go? House Speaker Ryan says it's collapsing big time. It's time to turn the page. What they're looking at, they're calling it the American Healthcare Act. It's the plan to drive down costs, encourage competition, and give every American access to quality, affordable health care insurance. It protects young adults, patients with pre-existing condition, and provides stable transition so that no one has the rug pulled out from underneath them. Nobody. Look, Obamacare was, for all intents and purposes, a wee bit of a disaster. I think we can all admit that. I think that it was first and foremost, can we understand that Obamacare was written as legislation? It was written as a bill. It was written as a law. It was not written as health care. It can mask itself whatever you want it to be, but it was written to withstand challenges along the way in court systems that it knew was going to face. All right? This new thing, however this is going to be, I don't know what it looks like. And like everything else, I can guarantee you right now, there's going to be winners and there's going to be losers because that's just life. Some people will see their healthcare costs go down. other people will see the fact that they weren't paying for health care and now having to pay for health care. They're going to see their health care costs go up. Some people are going to lose their coverage no matter what they say because they're going to be like, I can't afford this. Some states are going to have to figure things out. California, I know, is trying for to do some sort of single-payer system. I don't know exactly what that is. I don't know exactly how that's going to work, but they're going to make an effort for it. Will there be real competition? Are they going to allow us to go from state to state to shop? That's a lot of things people want to know. Pre-existing conditions, you're going to be able to get on there with pre-existing conditions, but the caveat is if you lapse between, you have to pay a higher premium. Because a lot of people in the insurance industry are saying, wait a minute here. Essentially what we told people is you can have a pre-existing condition. So you can go get sick or something could happen to you and you haven't had insurance. You go and then you join and all of a sudden you're covered and there's no, you know, that's not, I mean, that's crazy. That's like buying car insurance after the accident is what they're saying. So now you can have it, right? You can get your pre-existing. But if you lapse in coverage, they're allowed then to charge you a higher premium, which is good. The states are going to get cash. You're going to get cash. I'm going to get cash, depending on what the state is. They'll have X amount of dollars to spend, and how that goes from there, that's up to you. That's up to each state. We'll see how that goes. I don't know how it's going to go. I don't think you know how it's going to go. Because the states, as we know, tend to screw things up as much as the federal government in a lot of places. So this thing could be a giant debacle. But at least they have rolled out something that does not look like a Obamacare light. There's some good things in there. But like I've said, with Obamacare, some people gained and it was good. Some people lost. Some people had more skin in the game and it became tougher for them to make ends meet because of the cost. Other people who didn't have skin in the game, gained access. And those people vote too. I know a lot of people call up and say, well, those people don't pay any money for it. But you know what they do? They do vote. So think about that for a second. 20 million people gained access who didn't have the money to pay for it, a lot of them. And yeah, it was because of subsidies. But you know what? Those people vote. And I think all of us, regardless of what party affiliation we subscribe to, we all want people to have an opportunity and access to get health care. I think we all do. We'll see what happens, though, because this is going to be debated. And this is the stuff that matters to you and I as we talk about all of these things every single day. Cost, cost, cost. Comes out of your pocket, comes out of mine. And we talk about the fact that Americans can't afford a $500 oops or excuse me or oh, my God, I can't believe that happened. Or I can't believe that my tires are done. I can't believe my radiator blew. I can't afford this. Well, guess what? These are the things that people talk about that matter to us because it touches each and every one of us every single day when we have to go write a check to the insurance company or we see that our card gets debited X amount of dollars every single month. And yet when we go pay for a doctor's visit, we know we're never getting to those through those deductibles. So we'll see what they've got in store and how this will affect. But I will tell you this right now, I'm not a soothsayer. There will be people that has helped. There will be people that hurt. The goal is, hey, if there's 1,000 people, just rounding it here, and 950 are helped and 50 get hurt, is what it is. But if it's a 50-50, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. And these Republicans know exactly what this is about come 2018 and election time. Just letting you know that. Speaking of money, speaking of doing things, you know, I used to be a broker, for those of you not keeping score. I used to be a broker. Commodity broker. I used to sell the physical side of things. And I always laugh when I hear my colleagues come on and they do these pitches for gold, right? Because I'm a big fan of gold. I'm a big fan of gold. But they talk about, well, the world's coming to an end and you don't know what's going to happen, so you should buy gold. And I laugh because that's insane. First of all, if the world comes to an end and the zombies attack tomorrow, your gold's not worth anything because all your neighbors are dead. So if you need anything, just go get it. All right? Who are you going to trade with? The zombies? Doesn't matter, right, at that point in time. Gold is an investment? Ah, I like that. Every investor, every one of you out there, you guys know, hey, I should diversify. Well, gold is a perfect way to diversify. Small little piece of your portfolio into gold is a winner big time. And I'll tell you why. We've got an overbought market that's saturated with a bunch of these companies who are worth billions upon billions of dollars, yet turn no profit. We've had QE. Do you know what that is? Quantitative easing. Next week, we're probably getting ready to raise a little bit of the interest rates. Janet Yellen's hinted at that. That could potentially slow the market down a little bit. Lo and behold, gold's a good place for it. If you had put money in there about 10 years ago, just let it sit in gold, an explosion would have happened. Even though it's pulled off a little bit, trust me, you'd be up big time. I understand how this market works. You should as well. This is what I want you to do. I'd like you to consider using a company that I trust, Gold Co. Precious Metals. They're honest, ethical, and very knowledgeable. They'll give you a fantastic advice on how to invest in precious metals to protect what you've worked so hard for. I want you to go to BensonGold.com to get started with your free IRA guide from Gold Co. That's BensonGold.com, BensonGold.com. Go there, request it, get it sent to you, talk to them. They are amazing, and they're going to give you the straight skinny. They're not here to scare you into anything. They want to give you real advice on how you invest in this, how you protect the downside, but at the same time, treat it like an investment, and guess what? Actually make money. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You want to talk with Jack's dad? Ring us now. 844-DIG-CHAD. That's 844-344-2423.
Tell you what. Jack can play a mean. I remember when he was really tiny and we go to like Chuck E. Cheese or somewhere. Because nothing says fun like a giant rat and pizza. So we go to Chuck E. Cheese and he'd play the skeet ball games. Because that's what we love to do, you know, and now it's like he can handle himself, you know. Before he'd have to go all the way, he had to walk all the way up there in his little diaper and try to get it in. Now he's rocking and rolling it. Go big man. This weekend at the box office, we know it was number one. We'll count them down. La La Land 10, 50 Shades Darker 9, The Great Wall 8, Hidden Figures 7, Four I Fall 6, John Wick Chapter 2, 5, The Lego Batman Movie, for The Shack, a Christian movie, at number 3, once again showing that faith-based is still there, at about $16 million. Get Out, last week's number 1, is number 2, barely falling, only losing about 15% of its audience. $4.5 million movies already made $78 million movie. Number 1, the R-rated Wolverine movie, Logan. Last night, I actually was able to watch and get through X-Men Apocalypse. It was okay. Logan looks good, gritty. This is the last movie with Wolverine in it. His daughter's in it, so my assumption is she's a badass, and she's only like 11 or 12, so she'll probably be picking up the mantle as the Wolverine and dispatching of people with the claws. That's what I think. People saw the movie over the weekend. There was a 3.5-minute promo video for the new Deadpool, of which it wasn't really anything about the Deadpool movie. It was him promoing that there's going to be a new one where a guy is getting mugged in an alley and he thinks, oh, I'm going to save you, not on my watch. And if you've not seen it, Wade runs into a phone booth, tries to get into his Deadpool outfit, all the while the guy and the mugger are having an argument. And by the time he gets the leather suit on, the dude's shot and killed, and the mugger's gone. And he lays down on top of him and then eats his Ben and Jerry's ice cream while kind of apologizing for it. Logan made $88 million this weekend, R-rated, showing once again there is something to that, the violence and the whole nine yards. So very, very interesting. And I can't wait. I will probably see it at some point in time. I say that, but then I never do. weaponized black hole. Texas town is terrorized by a giant cube that they say is some sort of portal that opens up over a secret army base in Tejas. That's right. It's been snapped on several occasions over El Paso, just a few miles from White Sands, the infamous U.S. military testing site where the first atomic bomb was detonated. Nobody really knows what it is, but they have snapped pictures of this giant cube. And, of course, they're worried now that this could be extraterrestrial. I will say I've seen some pictures. Producer Anthony has seen some pictures. It is a bizarre-looking thing. I don't know what it is. It's like a giant floating Rubik's Cube. Although, producer Phil, it could be Hellraiser, and this could be Pinhead.
Yeah, I think it's a hoax.
You think it's a hoax?
I do.
I can't tell what it is, but you never know with these things. Look, if we can wiretap, the old president can wiretap the new president, then we can have a giant spaceship. You don't know, because you don't know. Solid fun show today, as always, kids. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. Check me out at Chad Benson Show. Like us on Facebook, Chad Benson Show. Check out ChadBensonShow.com. For Anthony, for Phil, my name is Chad Benson. We got through Monday. Woo! We could do it again tomorrow, I promise you that. I bid you all adieu. Night-night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.